The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, very good. Amen. I'd love to hear the Palmore sing. Amen. And God has given us good music in our church. Take your Bible, please, and go back to Proverbs, if you will. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28. The Bible says, her children arise and call her blessed. The husband also, and he praises her. Now, can I say that it is a wonderful thing when children rise up at any time in their life and call their mother blessed? There are so many ways to be blessings to mothers. I remember my dear mother. My mother went home to be with the Lord at the age of 54. But all the years that I had the privilege of being with my dear mother, she cast a very, very long shadow of blessing upon my life. I think back to the times when we spent time together talking as only a mother and a son could do. And we would sit up late at night. My mother used to love that. Sit up late at night and we would have conversation. Now, my mother was a philosophizer, and so she liked to sit up and philosophize. And here's the way she'd start it. Every single time, the way she'd start it, she'd say, Michael, I want to talk to you about this. And here's what I think. Here's what she'd say. But I don't know if I'm right. What do you think? Now, what she's doing, she was luring me in, is what she was doing. And so she'd say, now, what do you think? And I begin to tell her what I thought. And she oftentimes would say this, I thought that's what you would think. She said, but let me take just a few minutes to tell you why what I think is right. And she was a philosophizer. And I loved to be able to sit around and talk to my dear mother because she would take and she would teach me so many things. And I learned. I learned about her child rearing. I learned about her hard times in her life. I learned story after story about her parents and her grandparents. I learned so many things. She worked at a cotton gin in Georgia before she met my daddy. I said in Sunday school they had a short wedding. Short courtship type of time because my dad fought in the Korean War and it was getting time to ship out. He met my mother. I don't suggest this. He met my mother on Monday. They dated Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and was married on Friday. So they dated for 5 days. Now, I don't necessarily suggest that. But that's what they did. And so my dear mother was a war bride. And so he came back from fighting in Korea, stopped by Georgia, picked up his bride. And matter of fact, this is where it went. And he even told me, Daddy did, said, I went in, I pulled into the driveway. I said, honey, I love you. You've got about 1.5 hours now to go and pack, get all your stuff together. We're going home. She said, this is my home. She said, no, your home. He said, your home is somewhere else. Didn't even tell her. And said, your home is somewhere else. And we're going to live the rest of our life together. And it's going to be wonderful. They got in the car and they started heading out. Finally, he said, we're going to Maryland. You're going to live in Baltimore, Maryland. Well, she was a country girl. She knew nothing about living in the city. I mean, it was just a shock fire to her to be able to move into the city. She said she was scared to go outside the house they had for weeks and weeks and weeks on end. She said because she was afraid she'd get run over by a taxi cab. And so she was a country gal. But they moved to the city about 1 hour, my mama said, about 1.5 hours out from the city. Daddy looked over. She was raised a Southern Baptist girl, you know, never been saved, never had received Christ a Savior, but she was raised in the group of the Southern Baptist Church there and wasn't a faithful attender or anything, never received the Lord, but they were heading there. They were about 1.5 hours out or so, and Daddy looked over and said, by the way, you're Catholic. And she said, what's that? And so, matter of fact, her and I said this in my Sunday school class, we were confirmed as Catholics on the very same day. I was a 12-year-old boy and her, my dear mother. But then later on, I got saved and received Christ as my Savior and started going to the Baptist church and witnessed to my mama. And later on, mama got saved. And then, of course, brothers got saved and daddy got saved. And now mom and daddy's in heaven today. Now, can I say, my mother cast a very sweet shadow over my life. And I can look back to all the lessons that I learned from my mother. There's a little boy got separated from his mom, and they were in a supermarket and got separated. Oh, he frantically started calling his mother's first name, Martha, Martha. And he called her by her first name, Martha, Martha. And she went up to him. He was 6 years of age and said, "Why do you call me Martha? I'm mother. Why don't you call me mother?" He said, "Mother. If I would have called mother, everybody in the store would have came." Now, can I tell you, mothers have a very special place. Somebody wrote this about their mother. They said this, "My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done." She said, if you're going to fight, go outside and get in a fight out there, then be sure to clean up after you get done fighting. Somebody said this, "My mother taught me the value of religion." She said, "You better pray that stain comes out of the carpet that you just created." Somebody said this, "My mother taught me time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you in the middle of next week." Somebody said this, "My mother taught me logic because I said so, that's why." Somebody said, "My mother taught me irony. Keep crying, and I'll give you something to cry about." Some of you have heard those before, huh? Somebody said this, "My mother taught me stamina. You sit there until all that spinach is gone off of your plate." I didn't like that one either. Somebody said this one, "My mother has taught me about the weather. Your room looks like a tornado hit it." These two guys up here are saying, "Ooh." Somebody said this, "My mother taught me the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and if you don't straighten up, I'll take you out of this world." Somebody said, "My mother taught me behavior modification. Stop acting like your father." Someone said this, "My mother taught me anticipation. You just wait till we get home." Here's another one. "My mother taught me the act of receiving. You're going to get it when we get home." Another, "My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up." "My mother taught me about my roots. Why don't you shut the door? You were not born in a barn." "My mother taught me wisdom. When you get my age, you'll understand." "My mother taught me justice. One day, you're going to have kids of your own, and they're going to turn out just like you." Let me speak to you for a little bit about Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, we know that proverb as an illustration, if you will, about a mother. You've heard somebody say the Proverb 31 mother. Proverbs 31 has to do with a mother that is laboring very hard for her husband and for her children. And often you'll hear people try to say, "Well, I'm going to train a Proverb 31 young lady," talking about their daughter. You'll see that there's several things in Proverbs 31. You'll see that it talks about her sewing in Proverbs 31, verse 13, 19, and 22. You'll see it talks about her shopping in verse 14. You'll see it talks about her cooking in verse 15. You'll see it talks about her gardening in verse 16. You'll see that she had a business. She worked the business very hard, and she made sure that those things of merchandise that she was able to make, she sold and had people that she sold it to, and she did all of that out of the house. An old saying was this, man works from sun up to sundown, but a woman's work is never done. That's an old saying. So here was a lady, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 31 that knew how to work with her hands. Now, can I say, it's good for ladies to learn how to work with their hands, but it's also supposed to be appreciated when somebody rises up, especially a dear mother, to work with her hands. A little boy got a job, and he was going to go out to mow the lawns, and he said, I've got to get up early, Mama. I got to get up early. And she said, well, what time is early? The little boy replied, I've got to get up at least by 5 o'clock. And I'd like to be able, she said, you can't mow lawns, son, at 5 o'clock. He said, okay, 6 o'clock. She said, you can't mow lawns at 6 o'clock. The grass will be too damp. He said, okay, Mama, what time? She said, why don't you get up about 7:30? And he got up at 7:30, was all excited. He's going to go out and mow the lawns. I had his own little business he started, and he was going to go out and mow the lawns. He got up at 7:30, and sure enough, Mama had preceded him and fixed him a real fine breakfast that early in the morning. She went by a couple of times as he had several lawns to mow, and so after he mowed that first one, a neighbor came, just like I did to my neighbor just yesterday, and I didn't have time to get to it, and so I looked at my neighbor, and I said, hey, I'm just on a run. I'm trying to get a lot done. I've got guests coming in from the Philippines and other things I need to care for. I said, I'll slip you $20 if you'll mow my front lawn. And he said, I'll take it. And so he did, and did a good job for me. But did you know this little boy mowed that first lawn? He got the first lawn done. And then sure enough, somebody saw it and said, hey, can you mow my lawn too? Before you know it, he was mowing a lot of lawns. It was in the neighborhood. Mama got concerned. Mama came out, brought him some water, brought him some a little bit of food for lunchtime. And this is just how mamas are. Mamas are the ones that normally take care of the first boo-boos. Mamas are the ones that normally teach the child how to walk and how to talk. And mamas are the ones that make sure that the child behaves right without interruption or interference when it's not the proper time to be able to talk or interreact. Moms are great people. It is a mom that cares for the little ones oftentimes when they're sick with the fever. It is moms that make sure that dad also, if you will, looks good in the eyes of the children. Oftentimes, my dear wife, when I would travel abroad, I would do special things for the kids. I'd do special things for my dear wife. Oftentimes, I'd send them on scavenger hunts, and sometimes they'd be longer than other times, but I wanted to do stuff special for them. I'd leave them money to be able to go out to eat, and my dear wife would say, now, children, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go out to eat tonight, and this is because of Daddy working so very hard and providing for. And so always just taking and lifting up that husband, always pointing them back. I remember one time I did a scavenger hunt with a family. You'll remember this. And it started with a book, John O. Rice, a book, Asking and Receiving, a book on prayer. I said, go to my library and get that John O. Rice book. And inside of there, you're going to find a blessing. And I put a little 3x5 card inside that John O. Rice book. And it said to go to this place. And then they had to go to this place. And then they had to go to this place. And before you know it, they're going to different places for a half hour, just chasing those 3x5 cards in order to be able to receive the blessing. I remember putting a penknife up under for one of the boys under the desk. And finally, he found the penknife. But he had to go on a scavenger hunt in order to find it. And I did things for my dear wife. And I'm always, I remember one time my wife was walking by a jewelry store. Yes, a jewelry store. And I carry 3x5 cards everywhere I go. And so my dear wife, she looked inside of the glass of the jewelry store. And she said, ooh, isn't that nice? And it was a ring. Oh, I don't know why she didn't go by the candy machine and said, isn't that nice? It was a jewelry store, Brother Butler. Oh, it's good to see you back, by the way. I'm so glad you're back here. But it was a jewelry store. So I'd always pull out a 3x5 card and I'd write down what she wanted. And it was an expensive, Brother Heminger, piece of a jewelry. It was a nice ring. I gave her a little bitty ring when we got married, but I wanted to get her something nicer one day. So I saved up. I'm not trying to give you a hint. I'm just saying this is what I did. And I'm not trying to get you in trouble either. I'm just just saying this is what I did. And so I just saved up and saved up and saved up. And because she liked it, I always like to get stuff for my dear wife because I love her so much that she likes. And so I saved up and I saved up, I saved up. And I put money in my tennis shoes up in the closet. Now, my wife knows this, that don't clean out the closet because, you know, those things that are nasty looking are valuable to her husband. You know, I mean, these things are cherished items. That's why they got so much dust or whatever. And so I took that money and I put it in that tennis shoe. I saved it. I mean, I skipped lunch and I saved it and I saved it and I saved it. And finally it came time. I had enough pennies put together to go buy that diamond ring. And boy, I bought that diamond ring and gave it to her. She wears it on her hand today. And every time she looks at that, she knows how much I love her. All right. And I did it for that reason. Now, can I say there's many ways to love your wife. Here we see a lady in Proverbs that worked with her hands. And so you can give attention to your wife's hands. Maybe you could give attention to something else as you love your wife or as you love your mother today. Think about, if you would please, the way that she speaks. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 27, the Bible says this, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." It was John Wesley that was attending the Oxford University, and he was studying to go, he thought, into the ministry, but on the campus of the Oxford University, there was all sorts of different carousing that was going on, and students were sneaking out at night, and they were getting drunk. And so he contacted his mama back, Susanna Wesley, and said this, said, "I don't know what to do. My fellow students are sneaking out at night and they're getting drunk." She wrote him back, said, "Dear son, remember, anything which increases the authority of the mind over that which is God leading you the right direction is an evil thing." And that helped him to settle the matter. One day somebody was at the London Editor Center and they contacted Winston Churchill, and they said this to Winston Churchill, "Who is it that was the greatest teacher of all? We know all about these," and they sent him a long list of all those that were educators in his life, "and we know all about these, but who is it that we left off?" And he contacted the editor back in London, and he said, "You left out the chiefest teacher of all time in my life, and that was my dear mother." It was the preacher G. Campbell Morgan. G. Campbell Morgan had four sons. One of those became a preacher that was used outstandingly in those days. And one day somebody asked this young preacher, said, who is it that God used to be the most valuable person in your entire life? And he said, "It is always going to be the same answer, my mother." I said this in Sunday school. Billy Sunday used to preach at the mission, and behind the pulpit of where Billy Sunday preached in Chicago, it was a slogan put behind the pulpit, and that is, "When is the last time you wrote your mother?" You know, it's important to be able to show your mothers. I'm just trying to prompt your remembrance of some things that you could do on the special day to show your moms that you love them. I remember when I became the first believer in my home, I was the first one that got saved. Oh, I had such a burden for mom and daddy to get saved. I never will forget it. I used to go up to the weight room. We had a weightlifting room in our Bible college. It was on the fifth floor, and I'd go up there at night with permission from the dean of men, and I'd go up there at night after 10 o'clock. I'd go up there, and sometimes on Friday nights, I'd pray extra long, and I'd be up there for a long time, and I'd be praying, and I'd be crying out, and I'd say, "Dear God, please save daddy. Dear God, please save mama." Why? Because I wanted my mom and my dad to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I remember when my mom became stricken with cancer. And my dear mother sold Avon. And my mother loved to be able to wear the makeup. She loved to be able to do that. She's a pretty woman. And she loved to be able to wear the lipstick. I mean, she just decorated herself up just right, you know. And boy, she loved to wear. You'd never see my mother without my mother having her fingernails a different color. color, and she loved to do stuff like that. She dressed nice. She presented herself well. And, she just cared so much about being proper in the general public's eyes. Oh, but I remember when Mama got cancer, and I remember all of a sudden things started to change. She didn't wear the makeup anymore, and she didn't wear the lipstick anymore, and she never painted her nails anymore. And I'd talk to Mama. I'd say, Mama, how you doing? And she'd say, Michael, I'm not doing well. She said, it just seems like the cancer is just eating me away. And she said, I'm going to die one day. I know I'm going to die. And she said, I'm so scared. I'm so scared that when I die, I'm going to leave you boys behind. And I didn't do a good job in raising you. And I'm so sorry. Would you forgive me? And she apologized over and over and over again when I talked to her on the phone, over and over again, and ate her lunch. I'm so sorry. I wish I could have been a better testimony. I wish I could have done a better job in raising you boys. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I would tell Mama over and over again, you don't need to be sorry. Boy, I tell you what, you did a good job. You cast a long shadow of blessing and all those times that we talked. You taught me so many things. By the way, she needed to hear that. May I say this morning? Your mother needs to hear something like that. Your mother needs to hear from you. You ought to call her up and tell her how much you love her. You say, but you don't understand, preacher. You just don't understand. My mother, she's not been good to me. That doesn't matter. My mother, she is bitter towards me. That does not matter. Preacher, you just don't understand. We don't have a good relationship. That does not matter. We're not talking about what your mother's supposed to be for you. We're talking about what you're supposed to be for your mother. You ought to decide to love her. You ought to decide, shoot her a text. Tell her how wonderful she is. Tell her how blessed you are to have her. Tell her how much you love her. Tell her how much you appreciate her. Tell her how much you want to be able to walk beside her. Let her know. By the way, you ought to spend time loving, stay with me now, you ought to spend time loving your mother while your mother is still alive. When I was a pastor in Tennessee, we had a thing. We did it every year when I was, we've not done it here yet, but every year we would have a time where we said flowers for the living, flowers for the living. I'd order 200, 400, 500 carnations. I'd have buckets of carnations sitting in front of the pulpit. And I'd say, now, don't wait till they die. Don't wait till they die. One day they'll take their last breath. Don't you wait. Don't you wait to show somebody how much you love them. Yeah. Come up here. And our whole invitation was giving flowers to the living. Now, by the way, I keyed some key people in. I said this. I had a meeting with about 30 people. And I said, now look, I said, here's your job. If you find out somebody that doesn't have a carnation, you go give it to them. We don't want anybody left out. Now, why'd you do that, preacher? I did that because everybody wants to be loved. You know, I think the reason that God is blessing our church so much, and I'm being honest with you, I'm not trying to put you on a pedestal, but I believe that the reason that God is blessing our church so much is because we're not highfalutin. I believe God's blessing our church because you can come to a place and you feel loved. You feel like somebody cares about you for just a little bit. Now, can I tell you, church ought to be that way. Man, you walk outside this place, and all week long you get hit broadside with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and beats up on you every single time you stick your head outside the door. Now, please don't live here. We don't want that. But can I tell you, you need somebody that's going to pat you on the back and say, hey, have a good day. And by the way, if you say, I'm here and I got poochy lip disease and I just feel like nobody loves me and everybody hates me and I'm going to go eat worms and I don't feel like I'm loved, if you'll come tell me after the service, I'll sick about 10 people on you. By the time they get done loving all over you, you'll feel loved. Yeah. I'm saying this. Here was a dear woman. She worked with her hands. Here was a dear woman. She worked with her speech. She spoke things. Now, by the way, because her mouth spoke things, okay. If you want to be appreciated, here's what you do. Don't look for the appreciation. Don't do that. Here's what you do. You spend the rest of the days of your life appreciating people. As a man soweth, stay with me now, as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if you spend time loving people, you say, well, I just don't feel like anybody loves me. Well, let me ask you now, who are you loving? Who are you loving? You spend time loving people, and according to the Bible, what's going to happen is people will, that will become, you'll become the recipient of that. It will reciprocate back to you. It's like the boomerang. It's like the boomerang. My daddy was not saved, but my daddy said this. He said, you be good to people, and people will be good to you. He practiced that, by the way. My daddy was a giver. He was a giver. He gave the best way he knew how. He'd find somebody that was down, and he'd say, let me buy you a cup of coffee. And I'm sorry, he drank the wrong brand, but he'd say, let me buy you a cup of coffee. I was out last week. I told you about it. I was over at McDonald's. That's where us rich people eat. I was over at McDonald's, and there was a veteran that was in there. And I walked up to him. I said, did you fight in any wars? And he said, I did. I said, what war did you fight in? He said, I fought in World War II. I said, well, I didn't have to ask his age. He immediately said, I fought in World War II. I'm 92 years old. I said, well, I want to thank you so much. Thank you for giving me freedom. Thank you for fighting and making our country so that our young people can grow up in freedom and not bondage. Thank you for that. I said, let me buy your lunch. He said, oh, you don't need to buy my lunch. I said, no, I'm not asking if I should. I'm telling you I am. I want to buy your lunch. He said, well, okay. And so I sat with him a little bit, witnessed to him. He said, oh, yeah. He said, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 11 years of age. He said, that's how come I could do all that I did do. Now, can I say this? Here was an individual that just needed somebody to speak. Just needed somebody to speak. Tommy just resigned from, stepped down after serving 20 plus years over at Cracker Barrel. And every time we go to Cracker Barrel, and the boys was with us, and you don't mind if I call you boy, do you? Okay, and the boys was with us, I'd tell my dear wife, and I said, get the boys together and let them sing to Tommy. And boy, they get up there and they sing. He always had a favorite song. What do you like singing? She's more than just another flag. Those boys do a good job on that. And so those fellas. And so they would sing that song. And when they sang that song, old Tommy'd stand there and he'd grin like a beaver. You know why? Because somebody's loving him. See, that's what I'm saying. This is Mother's Day. If ever there, don't forget your mother on Mother's Day. You say, preacher, you're driving it home. Let me drive it home over here. Don't forget your mother on Mother's Day. You know, do something special. Show them some love. You say, but we don't have a good relationship. It can start with you. I'm saying this. I'm saying that she worked with her hands and she spoke with her mouth. Look at Proverbs chapter 31, verse 12. The Bible says this. The Bible says the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall watch it, have no need of spoil. Boy, she's taking good care of her husband. Good care of her husband. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 11. Listen to it. The Bible says here that she's the one, if you will, that will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. All right, so she was the one that was stepping forward to be able to help. The epitaph of one dear mother on the tombstone read as the husband would write this, we've been married for 60 years. Now, this is what he said about his wife. We've been married for 60 years, and this is what the epitaph said under that. In big, bold letters, she always made home happy. Amen. Somebody said this years ago, and I don't quite agree with it, that the woman is in control of the spirit of the home. No. I don't think so. I think that you ought to work together. You ought to work together. There's been times I come home and my wife's had a hard day, and I'll do everything I can to make her laugh besides standing on my head. I mean, I'll do everything to bring joy in her life. You know why? Because I have a responsibility to help her on those hard days. And I think we need to understand that here is a woman that worked with her hands, that spoke well with her mouth, and she had a heart that simply showed love. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, the Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit, the Bible says, drieth the bones. And so it's important that you and I take what we have to be able to help those mothers along the way. Thomas Edison said this. They said to Thomas Edison, they said, who is the greatest influence in your life? He said this. He said, my dear mother, I did not have very long, but she cast a large influence over my life that has lasted forever. You know, it is very important that we realize how important it is to love our mothers. I took one of her college girls who was getting ready to go home, and Sarah and her mom is not doing good physically, and she's getting ready to go home, and mom has a disease and she's losing her memory. And just a young woman. But getting ready to go home, I took her and her daddy out for a meal yesterday at lunch. And just wanted to love on them just a little bit as she's getting ready to go back home. And I knew what was coming. Daddy was going to share that when you come home, you know, things are different now. Things are different now. You know, and what a dear dad that loves his wife so, and what dear children that love their mama so, when they're going through, please stay with me, as they're going through a rough time. See, I think sometimes we're so selfish. We want our parents to be for us everything that we want. When we forget, we're also supposed to be for our parents everything that they need. My responsibility shouldn't be about me. My responsibility should be about my dear wife, my dear children, such as theirs to me. But if somebody drops the ball, then the family becomes imbalanced. It becomes imbalanced. Oh, if I were you today, and I had a dear mother, I'd just say this for a little while. I'd say, could I sit and chat with you? Would it be okay? I'd say this, could I take you out and treat you to a meal? Let's make a mother-daughter, mother-son appointment. Let's have a date time. I'd do something like that. Maybe I'd grab my mother's hand and just say, let's walk together and let the world see what it's like for a mother and a daughter or a mother and a son to be able to be in oneness and to be able to have joy. You know, there's some things that you can do. Don't cost you any money. How about opening the door for your mother? Wait until all the body parts gets in. And then shut the door. That'd be nice. How about maybe sometime this week, you said, I wasn't able to get her anything for Mother's Day. Give her IOU. Just write it down, 3x5 card, IOU. And on Thursday or Friday or whatever day is your lightest day, I will serve you breakfast in bed. IOU. You say, I can't cook. Well, get the neighbor to do it. They won't know. But do something special. Go on a picnic. You men that are married, stretch your hand across there and grab that gal's hand. Hold on to it. Look her in the eyes after you've got it in park. Tell her how much she means to you. Spend time. Think on it. Let mom and daddy get out of the bed and you rush in there and make the bed. They come back in and say, what in the world? Just say, I love you. I love you. Daddy likes his iced tea. Mama likes her iced tea. They've got a glass that's becoming half empty. That's almost a sin within itself. Go get the iced tea and put it in there. Let them have a full tank. I'm telling you, there's things you can do to love your parents that you can do that they're paying for the meal. All you're doing is filling iced tea. All of a sudden, when mama gets done, daddy gets done, she's the one who cooked the meal. It would not be a bad thing for you to clean off the table. Wouldn't be a bad thing for you to wash the dishes. My mother said to my brother one day, said, hey, I'm not going to call him because he listens to this, but said to my brother one day, hey, why don't you do the dishes? He came to me later and he said, I did them. I said, well, that was awful quick. He said, I broke every one of them and threw them in the trash. I said, you've just signed your death sentence. I said, they're going to get you. You shouldn't have did that. He said, well, I was in a hurry. I said, now you're going to have to buy dishes. He said, nobody will find out. I said, who was supposed to wash the dishes? He goes, oh, no. You know, there's ways to be able to love your parents properly. Can I tell you something us as parents enjoy? Can I tell you something honestly that we keep and we cherish? I'm talking about us as parents. When you sit down, take your time one day, and I'm done. Here it is. Last illustration, last thought, but I'm going to give you something. Sit down one day, get yourself a piece of paper. I know that might be foreign to some. Get yourself a piece of paper, get yourself a good pen, and just write your dear mother or daddy or sibling a note, preferably your parents first before you do it to anybody else ever. And write them a note. Say, I want to thank you for being my dear mother. Let me tell you what you mean to me. I love you because, and just fill it in, fill it in, fill it in, fill it in, fill it in. Fill it in. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. One day your mama's going to be older and grayer. Her health perhaps has failed. She's going to go back into that old shoebox. She's going to go back into that old drawer. She's going to pull out a yellow stained piece of paper. She's going to look at that was dated 10 years prior, 20 years prior. She's going to read that. Her tears are going to begin to shred or begin to pour down her face. And she's going to say, I thank the Lord for this one. Draw close together, especially on Mother's Day. A mother's example, what a wonderful thing. Now, Father, bless, we do pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.